Thanks so much, Rowena Bird. Comes up at 9. Joined in studio by Ibrahim Khalil Hassan, a public policy researcher and founder of Zapreneur, a website looking at small business, and Stanley Henderson is the Deputy Director General responsible for the Expanded Public Works Program. Gentlemen, once again, thank you very much for joining me this morning. Ibrahim, if I can start again with you, looking at the purpose of the Expanded Public Works Program, starting with work that gives you at least 6 months of employment, looking up to a year, but now we're removing that limitation of the year as we go into the third phase of this program. Do you think that there's enough skills that can be imparted onto an individual in just 6 months that allows them to now look for a permanent job in the sector?
Yes, I mean, the experience shows that even with shorter courses, people are able to gain those soft skills to actually enter into formal employment. The bigger issue, though, is that whether there's enough of those opportunities out there. And I think the Expanded Public Works Program, if we begin to think about it more as a community work program, we're going to be able to provide people with a longer time to stay within the program. But also, we're not looking at small numbers. I mean, 7.5 million might sound like a lot of a big number, but actually, when you bring it down, it's actually 7.5 workday opportunities. Is that right? The idea must be that we must say that every South African has a role to play in this economy, and they must be employed. The government needs to take that stand. It's not just a philosophical stand, and it's not just a pie-in-the-sky idea. If we take the Expanded Public Works programs, take the delivery of public services through tenders, if we restructure the budget, this is actually something that we could do within the next 10 years, you know, to actually have a program. The problem with government isn't that they're not, isn't particularly around the Expanded Public Works program. It's a question of they're not ambitious enough to deal with the questions of inequality in this country. And one route out of that is to begin to say, we have a community works program that will basically pick up everybody in this country. So we first say yes to that, and then we figure out exactly how we're going to do that. Because our problem in our society is that we start first with the problem. We say, where's the money going to come from? Do we have the skills, et cetera, et cetera? What we need for and what we need right now is we need that vision, which says we're going to restructure the economy in two ways. Government will pick up unemployed young people in this country, but it will also do what needs to be done to actually restructure the economy to provide a fair economy for people to enter into job, but also to own parts of this economy through starting a small business.
It sounds like a noble venture, but I'm reminded about Gwede Mantashe, the ANC Secretary General, said about this. There's certain jobs that South Africans just don't want to do. There's menial jobs which they consider beyond their scope. We feel entitled to higher paying jobs. We feel entitled to better jobs. You disagree?
I disagree with Gwede Mantashe. And it's not just a philosophical disagreement. If one looks through the data in the labor force survey, and if you look at the attitudinal issues, whether it's the labor force survey or the transformation barometer, South Africans need to work. And I mean, my advice to particularly the ANC is that it needs to reclaim that progressive stance to say, what is the meaning of this thing called the developmental state? And if we look at India, massive program to employ people. We look at Brazil, massive restructuring of the grant system. All ways to begin to tackle inequality within 10 years. When we look at South Africa, there isn't that ambition. So what I'm speaking about isn't just a noble idea. We have experiments going on throughout the world which actually is asking this question. How do we actually begin to deal with inequality? We might not answer the question positively in 10 years' time, but I think societies such as India and Brazil have a much better chance of answering it than we do right now.
Mr. Henderson, what type of jobs are you creating, and do you think you could live up to what Brian is talking about here, being able to create jobs for all South Africans who wanted a community public works program?
Thank you, Dashan. The community work program is a key program within the context of the Expanded Public Works program. Just for information for our listeners, we work across four sectors: infrastructure sector, social sector, environment and culture sector, and what we call the non-state sector, where we partner with civil society in the non-profit organizations. And in the community work program, obviously, it's a key program driven by the Department of Cooperative Governance. So the type of work, the example that I used was actually from phase one. Into phase like in phase one, we focused on public service budgets. Phase two, we said, if the problem is much, not if the problem is much bigger than just kind of what government can create. So we have to partner with civil society, and that's why we said we through NGOs that would be busy creating work opportunities already, and we would support them through a wage component or wage incentive to create more work opportunities. But if you would allow me to just comment on some of the issues raised by listeners a bit earlier, especially one particular point, the participation of municipalities. That is indeed key. And what Cabinet has approved about 2 weeks ago was what should be called the mainstreaming of the EPLP. Each and every government body should deliver on the EPLP, and that goes a long way towards addressing what Ibrahim has raised, but kind of making the decision. As a matter of fact, a lower target had been proposed based on our initial analysis of budgets that would be in a very tight fiscal environment. But Cabinet said no. The target had to be upscaled to 7.5 million work opportunities, which might not sound much, but let me tell you this. On a worldwide scale, as a matter of fact, if you compare it to the Magalni program in India, South Africa's program is the biggest public employment program in the world. Remember, we're talking about 1.2 billion people in India, and we're talking about our 51 million people. Our unemployment currently standing at 1 in 4 people. So it is not an insignificant program. If you go to any international forum, this program is actually lauded. And yet we are extremely self-critical in saying, you're right, we don't have an act that says there's a right to work. But what we say in phase three would be there has to be greater convergence between programs, between what the municipality is doing and between what NGOs are doing in the municipality and the communities. They have to participate to prioritize what needs to be done. We have some glorious examples from KwaZulu-Natal, the Zibambele Road Maintenance Program, where female headed households would be maintaining certain lengths of roads, half a kilometer, filling up potholes, clearing culverts, those kind of things. But the important thing about this Zibambele program is that those women, they form stock cells, and then they have actually branched out into co-ops. And that is the ideal model that we are saying. We're saying, because it's a learning program, we have to take, and this program is currently being replicated in different provinces. So we're saying, we're not saying we have all the answers, but in phase three, community participation, and then an important element would be sustainable livelihoods idea, where SME development, co-ops, there should be much bigger emphasis on that. But government programs, there will have to be, and there will be, greater convergence between what the different spheres of government are doing in a particular geographical area, so that we don't have the expression of turf or working in silos to deliver to the people.
Well, let's go to the calls then again. 0891 104 208. A question from Matala in Durban. Matala, good morning.
Oh, how are you? As far as I'm concerned, I've experienced this problem mainly because of nepotism and favoritism by those who give you a job. I had a much higher qualification and everything. When I came back from Zambia, that was pre-independent, they did not give me a job because I went to a black country to teach. And then I wrote to the Minister of Education, about 3 years later, I had to start a business and carry on. And he gave me the job. The same thing happened to my son, post-independent. For 10 years he was teaching. He's a graduate, qualified teacher. All the connections of the people who are giving jobs, he was not, until when Cronier became minister in Natal, I wrote a letter for him, posted it to her, and she put him on the permanent staff.
Matala, thank you very much for your call. So he's kind of making the point there that it depends on who you know, not what you know in this example. Professor Saunders, good morning.
Good morning to your listeners. I wanted to raise the issue which was raised earlier in the program by your key guest, namely that these are short-term jobs. And why is not government creating long-term jobs through this program by training up people who are enrolled into this program? For example,
sorry, just repeat that for us, Professor Saunders, by training people who are enrolled in the program?
Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, in the current NDP, in the health section, there is a proposal that we expand greatly the number of community caregivers to create jobs, and the figure given there is 400,000. So there are already 65,000 community caregivers, mostly paid by NGOs on stipends, who require to be employed in the long term because the external funding is disappearing. Why cannot your guest work with the Department of Health and ensure that these 65,000, as well as others, get trained and employed through this program to create long-term employment, generate jobs, stimulate the rural economy, and improve health for our people?
Professor Saunders, I appreciate that involvement, and I think he takes us into the next step of our discussion where we talk about how do we fix some of this and is there any oversight and accountability. I just want to read some SMSs before we get to his point. In Cape Town, Chet writes in saying the EPWP is pure tokenism as it's currently structured, unsigned. Part of the problem of unemployment in this country is trying to provide employment to the whole African continent. That's a useless exercise, it's unsigned. Bongi says the EPWP is used by councillors to employ their relative, many destitute people losing out. It's a similar point that Matala is making there. And Sankara Mabunda saying in Giyani, EPWP is useless because workers have no payslip, no UIF deduction, no pension. This is the same as CWP, no labor bargaining rights, says Sankara Mabunda in Giyani. We'll respond to those SMSs and those callers as well right after this. Be stationed.
We don't know why you chose a red car. Maybe it made turning 40 a little easier. We don't know that. But we do know that things like the color of your car, how often you exercise and what you eat, all affect your risk profile, which affects your life cover premium. And maybe you didn't know that. With the Liberty Risk Revealer, an essay first, you can do your own risk assessment online and possibly qualify for up to 12% off on a new lifestyle protector policy. No, we don't know why you chose a red car, but we do know how to give you a discount on a comprehensive cover, no matter what the color of your midlife crisis. Access Risk Revealer at libertyriskrevealer.co.za. Liberty, the advantage of knowing. Liberty is an authorized financial services provider. T's and C's apply. The Forum at 8 on SAFM.
Has the expanded public works program lived up to your expectations? You can still SMS me on 34701. What were your expectations of it, and has it lived up to those? Matala raised the point of favoritism and nepotism. It's been brought up a number of times during our conversation. Mr. Henderson, would you like to deal with this matter? It's not about what you know, but who you know and that perception in society.
Thank you for the question. It's a key question, key concern. Because if you want to be talking here about poor people. So, what I've said earlier, see, when if those issues would be reported to us, we follow up on each and every complaint about an EPR.